Welcome to Torah Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Vesser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Mem Vav, Chapter 46. Perek 46 begins a series of prophecies that is separate from the ones before, as they are Nevu'ah L'Goyim, prophecies for other nations. This section will include Prakim 46 to 51, and will escort us to the end of the Sefer, where there will be one more Perek, of the history of the Chorban. Rav Menachem Bula in the Dat Mikra notes that almost all prophets gave prophecy to other nations, Yeshayahu, Yecheskel, Amos, Yonah, Tzfanya, among others, but Yirmiyahu is the only prophet where prophecy to the nations was actually part of his job description. Hashem says to him in Perek Aleph, Chapter 1, Re'eh hifkadaticha hayom hazeh al hagoyim ba'al hamamlachot, Lintosh lintot laviv laros livnof lintoa. Behold, I am appointing you today on nations and on kingdoms to uproot, to destroy, to overthrow, and to pull down, to build, and to plant. Indeed, when Yirmiyahu the person is first introduced, Hashem's first words to him are in verse 5, Beteremet zorcha babeten yedaticha. Before you were conceived in the stomach, I knew you. Before you even left the womb, I made you holy. Navi legoyim netaticha. I've made you a prophet for the nations. Which would seem to be that Yirmiyahu's job is actually to give prophecy to the nations. Recall as well that Yirmiyahu sent yokes not only to Tzidkiyahu, but to all the kings in the area, telling them that Hashem had given over all of their lands to Babel, to Babylonia. When Yirmiyahu is speaking against Hananiah ben Azur, the false prophet, in chapter 48, before Hananiah breaks Yirmiyahu's yoke that he's wearing, and he explains to him why Hananiah doesn't sound like a prophet, what Yirmiyahu says is, in verse 8, Hanaviim asher hayu lefanai ulefanecha min ha'olam, the prophets that came before me and before you forever, V'inab'u al artzot rabot v'al mamlachot kedolot, and they gave prophecy against many nations and many kingdoms, la'milchama l'ra'al v'ladever, they usually speak about war, about evil, and about disease. Noting that Nevi'im that have come before Yirmiyahu spoke towards many kingdoms and many nations. So this section of prophecy towards the nations should not really be surprising to us. It was only surprising that it took us this long to get to it. And Rav Bula phrases it like this. Nebuchadnezzar is called Avdi, my servant. It is Hashem's will that he takes over the region. Therefore, anyone who stands up against Nebuchadnezzar will not be successful. The only way to survive his onslaught, Yirmiyahu explains in chapter 27, is to submit to his takeover. Only then, says Yirmiyahu, will your nation survive. It's interesting, though, to question why these chapters are here in the book of Yirmiyahu. Why are they preserved, lidorot, for generations? It could be that Yirmiyahu gave prophecy to the other nations, but we didn't need to hear about it so many years later. It didn't have to be included in Tanakh. In order to answer this question, we would have to know who is the audience for these chapters. Back in Perek Aleph, in chapter 1, on the phrase, Navil goyim netaticha, I've made you a prophet to the nations, there were two basic approaches. One was Rashi's, which explained that Yirmiyahu's nevuot were for Bnei Yisrael, and the reason it said Navil goyim netaticha, it really meant that he was a Navi for Bnei Yisrael, but it called them goyim. It called them nations because they were acting just like the non-Jews. They were indistinguishable from their surrounding nations because they were doing the same idolatry and worshiping the same gods, acting the same way. The other way to read this phrase is held by most other Mefarshim that Yirmiyahu's nevuah was actually for non-Jews. Carrying over these opinions to explain this group of prakim, these chapters, we would think about it as who is Yirmiyahu's intended audience? Who was he made a prophet for? Did he give these nevuot to the nations he was talking about? Or were they actually directed at Bnei Yisrael? meaning he's going to say that it's for the nations, but his point is that B'nai Israel should hear it. If he gave them to the nations, then we would explain that these nations are also Hashem's children, and he sends them prophecies to tell them that they are doing wrong and that their punishment is justified. They too should recognize Hashem's role in the world and that there are laws governing how they should act. If, however, the intended audience is B'nai Israel, then you can see these prakim as somewhat of a nechama, of a consolation. After all the terrible prophecies that they heard about themselves and their downfall, now at the end of the book, they have a few prakim where they learn that those that oppress them will also get their due. This is similar to what Yirmiyahu told B'nai Israel in chapter 25. After the 70 years that I've given Babylonia to rule, I will also call them to task and judge them for their misdeeds. Alternatively, it's still a message to B'nai Israel, but the message is not one of consolation, but rather of rebuke, to show B'nai Israel that Hashem is in charge of the whole region and the whole world. Unlike the idols that they worship, he is not just God of one nation, but the God of everyone, whether they recognize him or not. This particular nevuah in chapter 46 is directed towards Egypt. It has two parts. The first part concerns Paro's defeat in Carchemish against Babylonia when he went to help Assyria in their battle. You will recall that he killed Yoshio on the way to this battle. The second section begins in verse 13 and is about the war that Babylonia wages against Egypt much later on, while the remnant Jewish community is residing in Tachpanhes after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and Judea. Carchemish was the city in which Babylonia and Assyria had met for their last stand. In the year 609, Egypt decides to join the battle, most probably to help Assyria and maintain his control of the lands that he had conquered in this area. The sin of the Egyptians, like so many countries, is hubris. We read in verse 8, Mitzrayim ki ya'ur ya'aleh, Egypt rises like their main river, the Nile. Ukinarot yitgoashu mayim, and like the streams, they overflow with water. Vayomer, and they say, A'aleh, achaseh eretz, ovidah ir v'yoshveba, look at me, I will rise up like those waters. And I will cover the land like the waters of the Niles do, and in that process I will destroy cities and all of its inhabitants. Says Yirmiyahu to the Egyptians, this is not a proper attitude. You don't own the world. You're not like the Nile. You can't just rise up and conquer cities, and you can't speak of yourself like this. And therefore, says Yirmiyahu, you will be brought down. And he says in verse 10, "V'hayom hahu v'Hashem Elokim tzvakot." There will be a day that's for God. Yom nekama, it will be a day of revenge. Lihinakei mitzarav, to avenge against all of his enemies. V'achla charev v'sav'ah v'rav tamidamam. And on that day, the sword will consume, and it will be satiated, and blood will spill. This concept of Yom Hashem, the day of God, is a familiar theme from many Nevi'im Achronim, although Yirmiyahu is an exception. He does not really speak about it except for here. Yeshayahu, though, speaks about Yom Hashem in his second parak. It's a day that Yeshayahu explains that Hashem's glory is shown over kol ga'ei v'ram, anyone who's haughty. Here, we have Egyptians thinking of themselves as the Nile, overflowing and covering the country, and not recognizing that actually Hashem has power over them. They will be stopped on that Yom Hashem, on that day of God, that one powerful day in which Hashem will reveal his true power. The revelation of God will be enough to break down all institutions of power, all haughty people and countries. It is the way that Egypt approaches the world that will eventually lead to their downfall. What actually happens to Egypt in this battle of Carchemish is that they arrive in Carchemish fresh from having killed Yoshio, which means that they'd actually also conquered his territory, and they found themselves totally outmatched by the Babylonians. They quickly left the battlefield humbled as the might of Hashem's servant Babylonia had cut them down. Egypt will be brought down a second time when Nebuchadnezzar finally comes into their land to capture them. Says Yirmiyahu in verse 25, Amar Hashem Tzvokot Elokei Yisrael, Hineni Poked El Amon Mino Va'al Paro V'al Mitzrayim Va'al Eloheh V'al Malcheh V'al Paro V'al Kol Habot Chimbo. I am now appointing over Amon, Mino, and Paro, and all of Egypt, and all of their gods, and all of their kings, and everyone who trusted them. And what am I going to do? In verse 26, Unetatim biyad mevakshei nafsham. I'm going to give them over to the people who seek them. Ubiyad Nebuchadrezzar melech Babel, ubiyad avadav. They will be handed over to King Nebuchadnezzar. Vacharei kein, tishkon kimei kedem ne'um Hashem. And after that, Mitzrayim will resume control of their kingdom like the days before, as Yechezkel prophesies that this will only be for 40 years. The downfall of Mitzrayim will come from their hubris and not recognizing Hashem in the world. And therefore, after the Chorban, as Yirmiyahu tells the people in Egypt, right after they go there, Nebuchadnezzar is coming. He's going to take over this country. You're living in a war zone. Mitzrayim is going to be oppressed. They're going to be taken down not once, but two times, and that will be an end to their hubris. This parak ends with one more section, which is about Bnei Yisrael, giving credence to Rashi's opinion that they were the intended audience all along. Says Pasuk Kaf Zayin, verse 27, Va'ata, al tira avdi Yaakov, va'al techat Yisrael. Now you, my servant Yaakov, don't be afraid. Ki hinani moshe acha merachok. I'm going to save you from far. Ve'etzar echa me'eret shibyam, and also your children from the land of their captivities. V'shav Yaakov, v'shakat, v'sha'anan, v'ein machrid. And you're going to come back, Yaakov, and you'll be peaceful, and there's nothing to be afraid of. And then he goes on in verse 28. Ata al tira avdi Yaakov. Again, do not be scared, my servant Yaakov. Ki itcha ani. I am with you. I'm going to end up getting rid of all of those nations that I sent you there. But you, I will never finish off. And I will hurt you, but for a purpose. But I won't ever wipe you clean. In Parak 25, Yirmiyahu fed all of the nations a kos chema, a cup of wrath, blurring the separation between Bnei Israel and the other nations. At the end, they all need to serve Hashem, and when they don't, they will all be punished. However, unlike the other nations who sin, Bnei Israel's punishment will not be for eternity. They will always survive. Hashem will always take them back after the punishment, and that way, they're different from the other nations. Finally, in this passage, the word avdi, my servant, that coveted phrase of personal care, is finally applied to Bnei Israel, not Nebuchadnezzar. Just like they were saved from Mitzrayim once, they will be saved again from all the lands that they were scattered to. The use of the name Yaakov and Yisrael twice is endearing. This was the time where you were united. You were 12 tribes. You were all the children of the same person. And one day, you will once again be united. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishma, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.